I want to welcome everybody to this month's episode of The Green Side. The Green Side is a show on THP Radio that is a collaboration between The Hacker's Paradise and PutterZone.com. With me each and every week, I have Sean from PutterZone. Sean, how are you?
I'm doing great, especially now that my Oakland Raiders are tied for first place in the AFC West.
Well, admitting you're a Raiders fan on a national show is always interesting, to say the least. Add that to the fact that, you know, it took an interesting hand delivery to Phillip Rivers last night to get that tie, but that's neither here nor there,
indeed.
Of course.
Well, it's been a long, dark journey for us Raiders fans, so now it's time to celebrate a little.
Speaking of long and dark journeys, or at least long journeys, we're going to segue into something that is kind of intriguing to our readers and listeners, and that is the belly putter is still around. And it's
growing. Not only we've talked about it now, I think, for two or three shows running, and the noise just keeps getting louder, doesn't it? It's reached a crescendo. I think now it's cascading into the retail market. I think that's the story now. The story before was its success on tour. Now the story is the retail reaction.
Well, you know, it's funny. As consumers, we always, and golfers in general, we always try to downplay the influence that a tour player using equipment has on us, the buyers. And, we try everything. We go with what's best. But the truth is, this shows that there's a direct correlation between tour use and tour success and consumer buying. Because Keegan wins the major, guys on tour using it, and then Phil putting it in his bag sent this over the top for consumers. And, you know, Odyssey announces that they're coming out with it. I know you have a stat from TaylorMade as well.
Yeah, TaylorMade made an announcement that in the fourth quarter they've tripled their forecast for belly putter sales, and that pretty much says it all, doesn't it?
It really does. You know, guys want to experiment and want to experiment, it seems like, with putters. And I know putter sales for a while there seemed a little stagnant, but this really has opened the door and changed things for consumers wanting to kind of, I don't want to call it gamble, but roll the dice and see if something like this will help them, like a lot of the guys on tour are seeing some assistance with.
Yeah, and why not? You can kind of say, well, you know, don't mimicking tour professionals in trying to grab the hot hand from Sunday on the PGA Tour and trying to recapture that magic yourself. I mean, that's a bit of a fool's gold kind of approach. But at the same time, I can't blame folks. You want to try what's working and what you associate with success. And right now, there's nothing more associated with success in the putting world than belly putters. And so, you know, it's a very human thing to want to give it a try yourself.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Now, one putter that has come out to market, or actually hasn't really been released yet, but is making its way around the internet and readers and people are getting excited about it, is a new putter from Cleveland. And that's called the Almost Belly. And can you give people a little idea of what it is?
Yeah, the Almost Belly is a 39-inch putter that can be used as either a belly putter, or you can use it with a traditional style stroke, kind of like Angel Cabrera uses an extra long putter but doesn't anchor it to his stomach. So the Almost Belly is sort of a hybrid, I guess. And then it also has different lengths that go up that are official belly putters too. It's basically the Cleveland Classic Black Pearl belly putter line that includes the Almost Belly putter.
Now, you've had a chance to use it, I'm sure, as I have as well. I find that I can use it either way. I can use it as a belly putter and anchor it, and I can use it as a traditional putter. And the ironic part is, during rounds, depending on the length of the putt, I find myself doing both.
Yeah, I haven't actually gamed it like that. And I think, you know, at the length the Almost Belly putter is, you know, I think if you're really tall or something, it may not work.
You might be right.
Yeah, because it's sort of that, like you say, it can be used either or, I think, for someone of average stature. But,
Are you calling me average?
I'll speak for myself. I'm right in the average stature category.
I'm actually a little taller than that. I'm 5'11", and it is a stretch a little bit to use it as a belly putter. I do hunch over a little more. But I still have been using it, and I'm finding some success with it.
Yeah, exactly. You do at that length have to enter. But, you know, going back to your point about people wanting to try or experiment or basically put something like this in their bag, this is a great way to do it with this Cleveland line because of the price. The price is $129. Now, typically these belly putters are costing well north of $150. And once again, Cleveland has hit this sweet spot of value and quality with this classic line now in belly putter configurations. And so, you know, you can maybe take a chance on a belly putter without breaking the bank.
Well, and, you know, that's a really good point as far as the consumers go. You can get these for significantly less than a lot of the putters we've seen. One of the things I do like about it, though, is I don't want people to go in thinking it lacks quality. It's just more of a trial piece to see if it works, and then I'll upgrade to something else. It's a really good putter. And we've talked about Cleveland Classic Line in the past and how much we enjoy it. This one is no different. And one of the things that I'm really finding that, I've been anchoring it inside of 8 feet, and my success rate's gone up a little bit. And when I'm further out than that, I've gone with a traditional stance. So what I can tell somebody is, you know, if they're very interested in this, this is a great putter, like you said, for the cost to give it a whirl. But you can putt either way with it in a lot of cases. So if you find that you like the belly, it works. If you don't like the belly and prefer traditional, it works in that sense too.
And another important point about this putter is it's not just – they didn't just take a Cleveland Classic head and jam a long shaft on it. I mean, it's got the long, thicker than average grip. It's got a heavier head weight, 400 grams. It's a little more upright in the lie angle than the regular Cleveland Classic putters. So toward that end, this isn't just some sort of grab at the retail market at the last second. This is a putter designed for the belly stroke from top to bottom. And that said, when you are using it in a more traditional unanchored stroke, you have to be aware that from a fitting standpoint, there are some considerations with that heavier head weight, with the grip, with the lie angle. And so you want to be attentive to that. Is that the type of traditional putter you want to wield?
That you hit the nail on the head. It is not a product that was just thought up at the last minute by a company. Let's throw a long shaft on a putter head we have in stock and make it a go. It was designed for this specifically, and you will have to adjust accordingly to it if you decide to go traditional with it.
I would say, you know, I would lean toward it's great that it can be used, the Almost Belly, as a traditional putter, but this is really built for the belly stroke. In terms of the grip and the head weight and everything. So if you are keen on a heavier putter with a different grip, but want to use that as a traditional putter, you can. But I think this is still ultimately really a belly putter.
Now, you know, we're talking about differences in putters and different things and this and that. Now, one putter that's come to the market as of late that is definitely can fall under the quote-unquote different category is the Ping Sydney. And we've talked briefly about the Sydney in the past on this show. The Sydney it's never going to be confused with a classic standard traditional kind of design. It's a unique design. It's a full mallet. And it's something that just grabs your attention.
For sure. And when I first saw this putter, I was actually pleasantly surprised because the product photos, sometimes this happens, they just don't do it justice.
No, they don't. The art mock-ups, it looked almost a little too technical for me.
Yeah, exactly.
But when you get it in hand, it really is a sharp-looking putter.
Yeah, it's got this sort of impressive quality to it, visual quality that I can't quite... It's hard to put into words, but when I pulled it out of the box, I'm like, wow, you know, this is different than what I thought it was going to be. It has kind of a real sleek, modern ambiance to it that I really like. It reminds me of that really high-grade, polished aircraft aluminum kind of look with that red on the top that it's pretty striking.
It really is. I called it modern industrial because it's got this tech look to it, this techie kind of space age and modern look, but at the same time slightly industrial. The finish on it is really good. It's a satin finish on this aluminum that almost looks like it came out of NASA.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the red is just it's like a Lineman 8 on steroids.
Yeah.
We did a sound test with it on the THP forum that you can find by searching for that, and the sound is what really draws me in. It's not that classic aluminum high-pitched ping sound. It's got a really good, almost plush sound to me.
Yeah, the acoustics on this, I mean, they're still unique, I think, and that's maybe due to the head shape as much as the material itself. But you're right, it's not that hollow, empty Coke bottle kind of feel. It's got a solid quality to it.
I've struggled with some aluminum putters in the past, and one brand that's not around anymore that I really liked, but the audible tone on their first line when it came out was very interesting, is the best way to put it. And I feared that with this, but it's not. You know, you're right. When you strike at the acoustics, it actually makes you crave for a little more. And I can tell you, if you ever struggle with side-to-side movement of the putter head as you're coming through your stroke, this could be the thing for you. There's a few others out there on the market that are geared towards the same thing. I'm not sure I found one quite like this that keeps side-to-side movement at a minimum.
Yeah, it's really stable. And for those who haven't seen the Sydney, it's a futuristic looking mallet with wings coming out to either side on the rear, with tungsten weights to elevate the moment of inertia for stability, and as you said, to minimize side to side motion and twisting and turning. And then along the crown, there's this big red alignment feature. And in total, you know, it's got a spiderish kind of quality, in the sense that some people, I think, may be like, wow, that's too big or busy or alien looking. But I do think, like you say, it really delivers on its promise of superior stability through the stroke.
It's missing one thing, though.
What's that?
I can't pick the golf ball up with it.
There's the pick 'em up for that.
You know, unlike you that makes every putt, I sometimes give myself a gimme inside of a couple of feet, and I can't pick it up. And I've tried a million times. In fact, funny story about the Sydney. The first day I took it out to testing, number one on a local course here has water around the whole green. It's kind of like a faux island. Think of it like that. And my ball's right there, and I go to pick it up, and I fling it, and the ball goes right in the water. So I got airborne.
Classic.
I got airborne, but only about 2 feet airborne, and shot it dead into the water. I assumed that the ball would slide right up the red piece onto the ramp, and it would hold it, but it does not do that.
Yeah, it's a little too rounded for that.
Yes, it is, as I found out. And
it's more like a ramp.
Yes.
As you found out.
And it definitely propels the golf ball away from you rather than towards you. But yeah, that's the only, actually, it's one of the only negatives I have of this putter. I enjoyed it far more than I expected to. It puts a really good roll in the ball. I was concerned when you look at the face, it's, you know, with the aluminum face, it's very, I don't want to say straight because I'm not talking about loft, but it's very, you're not used to seeing anything that's just straight along now. You know, between milling and inserts and everything else, you don't see any just straight edge kind of putter faces, which is ironic in a way, thinking over the history of the game. But, you know, milling has kind of taken over in so many aspects of the game that I was mentally concerned, is it going to get a forward roll on it? Is it going to do – it rolls the ball beautifully. And I can't say enough good things about – I don't think that there's a putter that I've picked up that I had – so many questions about that answered them so quickly as this one. Now, speaking of equipment and putters that are pleasant surprises, you and I have both tested out another putter recently that is similar in the way to the Sydney. It makes kind of a nice segue, but odd-shaped, and also had a nice surprise, and that was the new Nike Drone.
Yeah, these look almost like spiritual siblings in a way. The drone has that wide mallet shape with the wings. There are some similarities, but also quite a few differences. And clearly, they were in development at the same time, so it's not like one copied the other.
Right. You know, I see the drone, and the first thing I immediately think of is, man, it's won on tour twice. Now, LPGA Tour, Suzanne won twice with it. And it's got that same kind of modern, futuristic look to it, but at the same time, it does very similar things. It has the core technology, so it's an insert putter. And I know we've touched on it in the past. Can you give people kind of a quick rundown of the difference between the Method and the Method Core?
Well, the Method, the original Nike Method putter that has won three major tournaments now, you know, it's basically called a polymetal groove technology. You know, on the original Method, there was a polymer that sort of ported through the face, so it's not technically an insert putter. With the Core, the polymer is embedded in an insert, and the insert is then embedded in the putter face. But it's still the same concept, and it's still called polymetal groove technology, whereby you have a soft polymer groove and then a secondary metal groove to assist with implementing forward spin on the ball.
You know, I applaud Nike for coming out with, and I don't want to get too tied up into the Core and the regular Method, but I applaud them for bringing the polymetal groove technology in different price points. And I think it can help consumers try it out. This is a putter that I did not expect to fit the line. I didn't expect the Nike Method Core to come out with an oversized futuristic mallet. And when they did, I like it. I like it a lot, actually. It's got a great finish. The face looks awesome. And it puts a really good roll on the ball.
Yeah, and like the Sydney, I think it feels really stable. It feels like it wants to keep the line. One thing about this putter is the acoustics on it are very unique to me.
Yes, and I think anybody who gets a chance to try this in a store, if you get a chance, the first thing, you know, you can putt with it like everybody does at the stores. Try to get a couple of putts in when people aren't walking by or it's not too noisy, because you will hear a very distinct audible tone at impact that's really unlike any putter I've had before it.
Yeah, I totally agree.
How would you describe the sound?
Wow, it's it's kind of like this.
that's perfect.
There you go, lost for words. I'm going to stroke it right now and try and give you all a real vivid. It's kind of like a tink pop, you know. It's got a little bit of that Coke bottle thing going on.
It does.
Yeah.
It sounds like okay, I'm going to relate this to drivers. Do people remember, and I'm asking a question like they're going to answer me right now, but do you remember the Nike driver that was very loud and Cobra drivers in the past, you know, that composite metal sound? If you just, when you were waiting to tee off, if you bounced the ball off the driver head, you know, from 3 inches, it made this almost like a champagne cork kind of composite sound. That's what this one has. And not a loud explosion like the driver's, but just that it's a unique sound, and it's really good. And it's something that's very different, but I think people are either going to love it or they're going to hate it.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm on the fence, and I actually really like it.
Yeah, it's different. And variety is the spice of putting life, right? So you might as well.
One of the things that makes me like it, and this is, we like to think that we hit the putter in the same spot every time. But truth be told, we don't. Most amateurs. It really gives me incredible feedback to when I'm hitting it perfect and when I'm not. Even by a couple of millimeters, the sound is different.
Yeah, and that's an upside of a real vivid audio quality like that. Because in for a mallet putter, a high MOI mallet putter, sometimes that's one thing they lack is feedback. They're so stable and they're so forgiving that you don't really, it doesn't really tell you exactly what happened. And so when you have vivid audio feedback like this, you get a little better sense of, okay, yeah, it's stable to the stroke, but I need to lock in a little more on trying to hit the center of the face.
What kind of technology is packed into the drone that you've seen that's fairly unique?
Well, I can't really. The polymetal groove technology is very unique. In terms of the rest of the putter, I can't say it's groundbreaking. I think, you know, moving weight low into the perimeters is a pretty tried and true, for lack of a better word, method of elevating MOI and giving
you
that
stability.
Hey, I just
got that. I'm a little late to the party.
Later, huh?
Anyway,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so that's, you know, it's not, I don't think it's a groundbreaking putter, but it's a nice addition and extension of the method line.
It really is, and that's where I kind of, it fits in for me. There's a lot of people at our club, for instance, that really love a real oversized mallet. And it, you know, you look over sometimes and you think they have a metal detector in their hand searching for jewelry in a putting green. But, you know, stability and keeping the stroke straight, and it's about visualization, just like it is with a smaller putter head. If it's going to help somebody putt, it works. And both these last two putters we've discussed fit in lines perfectly. And while I agree with you, I wouldn't call anything that spreads the weight out to perimeter groundbreaking. This is definitely something different from Nike that A, was unexpected for me, B, already has proven success at the highest level, and C, in my testing, I've really enjoyed.
And I'm really excited to see what Nike's going to break out next, and particularly at the high-end level again. The original Method line, I think, is due for an extension or a makeover or I don't know what. But they seem to be, again, here's another pun, hitting their groove.
You're on a roll today.
On the putter front, and it'll be interesting, I think, in 2012 to see what they do, in particularly at the high-end line.
Well, you know, it really is interesting, and with the PGA Show just around the corner, I'm sure we will see some of that unfold on demo day as Nike will be out there. One of the things that we don't do on the show is, like, plug equipment. Now, I'm going to plug something here that has nothing to do with putters in a way. And that is, I pre-ordered an Amazon Kindle Fire. I gave in. I had to have one. I'm not a huge reader, but that's going to change. Now, my partner over here, Sean, is always learning. He's significantly smarter than me, as you can probably tell by these shows. And he's been reading something recently that I found dynamic and very interesting. And I'm going to put him on the spot, and I want him to share it with everybody.
Yeah, it's a book called The 3-Degree Putting Solution, and it's by Michael Breed of the Golf Channel.
Does it read really fast?
No.
Because he's on something.
Oh, he must have slowed down for this. actually, it could read a little bit faster, in my opinion. But,
okay.
But, you know, then again, he might say your book, Putter Perfection, could use a little more. So, you know, it depends what you're into. But the premise of the book, which I find really interesting, is that he makes a pretty strong case for de-lofting your putter, i.e. forward pressing, so that you achieve ideally a negative 3 degrees of effective or dynamic loft at setup and upon impact to part a truer, quicker forward spin on the ball for better accuracy and distance control.
Does that mean he's going to trade his Scotty Cameron in for a backstrike?
He is going to forward press his Scotty Cameron until it achieves 3 degrees of negative loft.
Now,
the
why will this
plugs
help
are
somebody?
In there. What's that?
Why will this help somebody?
Well,
again, in his theory, anyway.
There's a lot of. You know, it's a bit of a hornet's nest in the industry whether or not that's the best way to go. But he makes a strong case, and he talks about how numerous putting legends over the years, dating back 100 years, have advocated negative loft. And one thing I learned at the TaylorMade Lab down in Carlsbad was they analyzed Dave Stockton's stroke, and he was doing exactly what Michael Breed is suggesting that you do. He is forward pressing to achieve negative loft, but he has the launch angle he puts on the ball gets the ball rolling and gets the ball up and rolling quickly for a really beautiful spin on the ball. So, you know, he kind of likened it to the guy at TaylorMade, Dwayne Anderson, to when you want to hit a topspin shot in tennis, you kind of have the racket de-lofted, but you hit up on it. And what do you get? You get this really tight topspin.
Now,
and so it's not like Michael Breed is just coming out of nowhere with this.
Now, I'm going to play devil's advocate here for a second.
And there's a lot of devil's advocates out there on this.
Yeah, and here's the devil's advocate. And I'm not an expert like they are, and you know, I'll leave it to the experts. However, adding another movement to the putter, whether it's before or during the stroke, means that something else could go wrong. Now, you add that to the fact that technology in today's game and equipment has made it so you can create that forward roll without using the forward press, be it grooves or whatever. At least the science and independent labs have said that this can do that. So you could essentially get the same roll that they're talking about with the negative 3 degrees with a putter without having to use any movement of your body, which to me says less movement means more less chance of screwing it up. Correct?
Possibly, yeah. The flip side of that, though, is, and it's something David Stockton talks about in his new book.
How I taught Phil Mickelson to be the greatest putter ever? Oh, wait. No, that one hasn't been published yet.
I think it's Rory McIlroy now.
Yes.
But the forward press for some people is a move. It's an athletic move to help start your stroke and to actually foster consistency so you're not frozen over the ball and then trying to start the putter head, which for some folks, and to some degree myself included, struggle with. And so if you can master the forward press, is not just a technical move to, say, deal off the putter, but actually to employ it to start your stroke on a more sort of fluid and reliable path, then that can be an advantage as well. And I think it ultimately comes down to the individual. And I think Michael Breed's book is a nice addition to the possibilities that people may want to explore. The one thing with forward pressing you need to be careful with, though, is when you press that you've really got to watch the face angle, because if you're not pressing perfectly, it can actually change the face angle on your putter, and you may not even notice it. So that's just something you need to be careful with.
Well, we are definitely going to have this conversation again. It's always fascinating to talk about putting strokes and what works and what doesn't. And I think that's definitely a conversation for another show, as we are running out of time this week. Now, for myself and Sean, I want to say thanks, everybody, for listening. We will be back next month with another show of the Greenside with some exciting new news on everything in and around the game with a heavy focus on putters. Thanks, everybody.